Mr. Green?
Yeah.
You need any help?
Mm-mm.
I just want you to know, I think you're the best ever.
Yeah, sure.
Want my Coke? It's okay, you can have it.
No.
Really, you can have it.
Okay. A Coke and a smile makes me feel good.
Makes me feel nice. Be around. That's the way it should be. I like to see.
Hey, kid.
The whole world is smiling with me. Coca-Cola has life. Have a Coke and
thanks, Mean Joe.
I love that. That is a classic spot.
And how long ago was that? Was that 75?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It was mid-70s. State Player and Jeff Rogers hanging out talking about Super Bowl commercials. And right now we're talking about the best Super Bowl commercials of all time. And somebody mentioned Master Lock, of course. I got three of them in, 773, another 773, and 847 about Mean Joe Green. So there it was. Oh, yeah. No, 79.
Oh, 79.
It was
okay.
79, yeah.
I guess he was still on the Steelers in 75.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was an absolute classic.
Here comes the king, here comes the big number one. Budweiser beer, the king is second to none. Just say Budweiser, you've said it all. Here comes the king of beer, so lift your glass, let's hear the call.
You say Budweiser
beer's the one that's leading the.
And that is classic, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And they've really used the Clydesdales over the last few years, really starting, I think, in 2001 after 9/11.
Yeah.
That they really did something pretty impactful
with
about
the bow
stopping
and, yeah.
where the buildings were and so forth. But love that. Budweiser always, I think, leads the way in the funny over the years, right?
They've defined it.
Yeah.
I mean, they really defined what the Super Bowl spot using humor
yeah.
is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
They had the frogs, right?
You got the frogs? Let's take a listen. We've got these ready for you, Jeff.
Yeah, no kidding.
Bud. Wise. Bud. Bud. Wise. Bud.
Let's play that one. We got what's up. Let's do that one now.
Wise.
Here, just fade this one. Yeah, there you go.
Hold up, pick up good yardage on the play. You know, the best part of this defense is their defensive line and their interior.
Hello? Hey, who? What's up? Nothing, B. Just watching the game, having a bud. What's up with you?
Nothing. Watching the game, having a bud.
True. True.
What's up?
Yo, who's that?
Yo! Yo, pick up the phone!
Hello?
What's that?
What's up? Yo, where's Dookie?
Yo, Dookie!
Yo.
What's that?
It does still make you laugh, doesn't it?
It just became part of the language.
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, yeah.
Everybody
really
was
did.
Doing that.
That's right. The Apple commercial in 84 is a big one, of course, but it's I'm tired of playing it over and over again. The McDonald's Showdown. That was a favorite, I remember, in the 90s with Michael
yeah.
Jordan and Larry Bird, right? All about downtown
off
Chicago.
Off the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
Off
yeah.
the Sears Tower.
That was a classic. And then throwing the ball off the Hancock. I think that was the
yeah,
last
right,
one, right?
Right. Nothing but net.
There was a Coke parade balloons commercial where they were showing there was
oh,
a
yeah.
fight between Underdog and Stewie from Family Guy.
Right.
So you got old school, new school, and then there's a Coke bottle, and then Charlie Brown shows up and grabs the drink and goes, it's still one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Volkswagen The Force, that was a few years ago.
That one was just brilliant.
Right?
That had everything. It had pathos, it had comedy, it had an unexpected ending. I mean, yeah. if you want to design a perfect Super Bowl commercial,
yeah.
that would be pretty yeah. close to what you should do.
Right? Is there anything like that, and I've got a few more, but for you, is there any that like stick out like, one of my favorites? I mean, still one of my favorites.
Yeah, that VW one is...
That was
is,
it, right?
That's yeah. one for me that it
was just, when the kid, everything. He thought he had the power. He was dressed up as Darth Vader.
Dressed as Darth Vader, and he's trying to use the force in all of these different areas of the house, and practicing, and nothing moves, and nothing turns on. He walks outside, and he does it to the car, and all of a sudden it starts up, and it startles him.
Yeah.
And he's so happy and surprised yeah. by it. And then they cut to the kitchen where the father has just pointed the automatic start to the
yeah.
car, and he just kind of smiles like,
But you get it. You get what the spot is for. Yep. You get what the intention is, and you remember the brand.
And the magic of the brand.
And the magic of the brand. That's right. Ram Trucks, The Farmer with Paul Harvey. I thought that was one of the cool ones.
Yeah.
I want to play a little bit of that, of Paul Harvey and talking about The Farmer, and that was for Ram Trucks.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. I need somebody with arms strong enough to wrestle a calf and yet gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to call hogs, tame cantankerous machinery, come home hungry, have to wait lunch until his wife's done feeding visiting ladies, then tell the ladies to be sure and come back real soon and mean it. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay wire feed sacks. And
pretty cool. Pretty cool spot. Snickers, the Betty White Abe Vigoda is still one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And it's only, I love hearing it because I love Betty and I love Abe at the end, but it was a Snickers spot where it was a kid and you're playing by, like Betty White out there, but it's actually Betty White. Let's take a listen.
Mike, what is your deal,
oh,
man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Mike. Use Snickers. Better?
Better.
I'm up it!
That hurt.
You're not you when you're hungry.
The fact that people thought, I mean, really, they thought he was dead 30 years
yes,
ago.
Yes, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He is.
He is.
No, no, he was
he
then as well.
He was dead there.
He just brought him back.
All right, now here is my ultimate favorite, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but the commercial, the most one of the most surprising was when CBS had the Super Bowl. It was back, might have been late 90s, early 2000s, maybe it was 2000s, and it was David Letterman, Oprah, and Jay Leno.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just, it was promoting Letterman. And I remember hearing both sides of the story on how this went is obviously rivals. They were friends and they, and Dave supported Jay all the time on Late Night with David Letterman over the years. And, once the Tonight Show takeover happened, I don't think they spoke much at all. And in fact, Dave was, you know, both very bitter about it, but Dave especially.
Yeah. I think this commercial, when they got on set, was the first time.
And maybe the last, one of the last. And, you know, Jay came in on a side door and they said hello to each other, sat down to the spot. They shook hands again and it was over. There was no deep conversation. It was hello, goodbye, but they were both into it. So it's very quick. Let's take a listen.
This is the worst Super Bowl party ever.
Now, Dave, be nice.
Oh, he's just saying that because I'm here.
Oh, he's just saying that because I'm here.
I think that was it.
Wait, do you remember the one, it's halftime in America? Clint Eastwood coming out.
Yeah.
I think it was Chevy or Cadillac.
Was it before or after the Ram truck? Like, I feel like it was before.
I think it was before, but I'm not 100% sure. But him coming out during that time, that garnered a lot of talk and a lot of good press for them as well.
It's halftime. Both teams are in their locker room discussing what they can do to win this game in the second half. It's halftime in America, too. People are out of work and they're hurting. And they're all wondering what they're going to do to make a comeback. And we're all scared because this isn't a game. The people of Detroit know a little something about this. They almost lost everything. But we all pull together. Now Motor City is fighting again. I've seen a lot of tough eras, a lot of downturns in my life, and times when we didn't understand each other. It seems that we've lost our heart at times. The fog of division, discord, and blame made it hard to see what lies ahead. But after those trials, we all rallied around what was right and acted as one. because that's what we do. We find a way through tough times, and if we can't find a way, then we'll make one. All that matters now is what's ahead. How do we come from behind? How do we come together? And how do we win? Detroit's showing us it can be done. And what's true about them is true about all of us. This country can't be knocked out with one punch. We get right back up again, and when we do, the world's going to hear the roar of our engines. Yeah, it's halftime, America. And our second half's about to begin.
Jeff Rogers, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Dave.